know, they always had enough food to eat, but the harvest was always an important time of the year for them, because it meant, you know, whether they would have money left over for other things or not. As farmers, they always had enough money for food for the eight children, my grandparents, but they also made money by selling the excess. So it, even though my my father had a different business, he maintained the business of farming and the harvest. And this time of year was always his favorite time of the year, because most of the time we were very blessed with a good harvest. The other thing that we tended to do with our family, think traditions change, but throughout the years, is what was really important to my father was to have a lot of family over at Christmas and Thanksgiving. Sorry about that. Christmas as well, but we won't get that far ahead of ourselves. Yeah, Thanksgiving, just having big groups of family and friends drop in. It was a celebration of just being grateful, not only for the food we eat, the company we have, our health, everything that we feel great, that we might feel grateful for. And yet to, one of the things our family didn't really like as time got on was, you know, when it got too commercialized, some of the holidays, and we tried to keep it very simple among ourselves. Everybody would contribute something and we'd play board games or cards and just sit around and sing. We always had a lot of fun around the family table around Thanksgiving.
What about you, Joseph?
Went through a lot of phases of sort of Thanksgiving gatherings. The earliest ones I remember was with my grandmother, who was from Yorkshire, but she had lived in this small cottage. But you had, like, I remember layers of people. Like, you have, I remember being in the lower layer, the small kid, and then there were sort of, you know, teenagers and then the adults. But there was, you're actually almost on top of each other. There was so much, there was so much going on and all that. And it was quite amazing, with people singing and jokes and everything, and that always sort of comes back to me. And when I came out to BC in about 1978, and I ran into people. I ran into, like, Paul Gauthier. He would have, he is a foster kid, so he had twin sisters, and he had one of his twin sisters had a kid who also was, so at Thanksgiving everybody came out, and we sort of was another gang. So it was always again, everything going on like crazy, as well as he had foster kids. He had a foster brother, and I first met him in a group home, a kids group home. But he would engineer to have his friends come to be, they had a room for respite. So he would engineer to have his friend come for the respite. And then there would be a whole plot of what was going on. He had another friend that would come and was able to drive the van and take him and his friend and, go and, take the trip and go out at night doing various things, including getting a company going, selling cell phones and everything. So it was always a multi. It wasn't something you could focus on because there was everything going on all over the place. So you just had to be able to pivot, I guess you'd call it. But again, it was the people. I mean, the actual human beings was a tremendous experience because they were all in the middle of it. Most of them were fighting like hell to actually survive in a way, to actually have a house, and when they were in the group home, to sort of fight against all the rules and regulations that didn't really fit in with 18-year-old or 17 or 18-year-old kids. So there was always something happening.
Always something inspiring to share, because people would sometimes say, oh, so sorry you were in a group over here. But no, it was wonderful. We had this great experience together. I have the experience of saying Canadian Thanksgiving and American Thanksgiving because my husband and I first immigrated to Canada. It was right at Thanksgiving week. And then in the next month, my son, oldest son, was born. And so it was really a time of gratitude because, in contrast with how getting an apartment, a lot of things were negative in the States. We asked him, we need to have somebody write papers for us, a voucher for us. And the woman said, why would you need that? And we said, can black people live here? And she said, why would you ask that? And, this was in Toronto, but the experience had been so different Los Angeles, where we were both teachers. And so I have a great sense of gratitude of just the difference and shift of the way we were received as creative people, because at the time, Prime Minister Trudeau, there was a push to get people who were teachers as well as creative people into Canada. And then food, we don't serve the same foods for Canadian Thanksgiving as we have with the U.S. Thanksgiving, because our family has a lot of Southern foods. We have sweet potatoes, potato salad, coleslaw, turkey, sometimes turkey and a second meat, depending on where people are from in the country. You might have ham or some type of pork and some type of poultry. With Canadian Thanksgiving, we venture to see what some of the markets, some of the indigenous foods, some of the things that were in the farmer's market, and have slightly different foods than we would have. It's been in this year, looking at some of the stories, positive stories that news are talking about, people who have started from weeks ago, children, collecting food to give to people, have a package to give out to people who are unhoused on the street. And people are encouraging, yes, if you have something that's easy for a person to open, just reaching out and giving something, a bag of fruit, packages of nuts, toiletries, things that people could use, and being grateful that that is not our situation, but also continuing to be an advocate. I think this time of the year makes me think of just advocacy, that it's not something that's a weight on us, but just when we can sit down and have a full stomach to really still be willing to advocate for policies and things that help everyone to be housed and to have food in a country that grows so much food. Karen, what about your, you just came to a family gathering, right?
Oh, myself, yeah. We have a tradition of coming north. So for many years, we lived in Toronto. And so we would drive maybe 4 or 5, probably 5 hours north to this particular place, where we would spend a week in the summer and then a week on the same piece of land in the fall. And it was really important that it was the same piece of land, because we could see the transition and then connect that to our lives. And the beauty that surrounds us in Ontario with the red maples and the the orange oak, and then maybe poplars, more of a yellow. So the real, like today driving up, there were some areas, it just looked like the place was on fire. I know that has other connotations now because we had a rough summer with forest fires across the country, but it was just this beautiful illuminated vibrancy of color. And I found, you know, I just came back from a beautiful, wonderful trip, seeing wonderful people in BC. But I found myself coming back to like needing to see the colors, needing to connect with the land here on in Ontario, just because of this tradition. And so, yeah, we've just literally just arrived. And usually we're near some sort of water, or we can get to some water, and we just walk the land. And we stopped at the veggie stand and got corn and squash and, you know, some real whatever was in season, you know, that's what we will be eating for this period. So it's a nice way for us to sort of slow down and reflect on transitions, on ideas of letting go, and just connecting with beauty and connecting with one another. But for me, it's just something inside me. I love my time in BC. I love BC, but there's something very special about the colors in Ontario in the fall. And so my mind kept coming back. And especially now that I live in a forest, I'm so connected to what is happening at every month, every season. And so I the last couple of years I've gone into Algonquin Park during the absolute peak of color, and there's just nothing like it. It's so I just, my mind and my heart just kept drawing me back. I need to go back. I need to see the colors. So literally I had one day to do my laundry, pack again, and now we've just arrived. So we'll be connecting as a family. And we do three generations. This is something that, you know, once we knew that we would be adopting our daughter and have a new generation to nurture, we looked around at different sites, and we ended up at the place where my husband would go when he was four. Yeah. With his parents. So and the actual place closed down and got sold to a developer, and we were very, very connected to that land, and we were very grieving the loss of those trees that we had formed a relationship with. And that's actually what inspired us to create a forest preserve, was just, we just wanted to get land and not cut down the trees, you know? And as it turned out, it ended up being a larger piece of property than we had originally envisioned. And it had a little hunt camp on it. And we collect bags of leaves every fall. And that's something that we have to be thinking of doing to create a pocket of air, because our floor isn't insulated. So we create a pocket of air with these bags of paper bags of leaves that we put all around the perimeter of our little hunt camp cabin to help us get through our winters. So it's really a time of preparing, also collecting these beautiful leaves once they've fallen and getting ready for winter, getting ready for trying to stay warm, making sure that our wood is ready to get us through the winter.
That's an idea somebody might want to adopt. Put those leaves into bags instead of putting them out for the cleanup people to take away. What about you, Loretta? Or is there any special custom that you like to do at Thanksgiving?
Well, I was very fortunate. My mom was a fantastic cook, so we had a feast like the full 9 years, like, and it was all homemade. And a couple of Thanksgivings stand out. One Thanksgiving, we spent on my cousin's sailboat. We went up Indian and that was beautiful. Like, stunning scenery. So you had gratitude for the people around you, the food that you ate, and the amazing nature all around you. It was stunning. And a couple other times we also went camping at Thanksgiving. And the same thing is so quiet because there's not a lot of other people out around you. So you had like the whole lake to yourself. So again, you're connecting with nature, the people around you, the food that you're eating. It was amazing. So those experiences really stand out for me.
Well, you know, Vancouver is called Hollywood North, and each of you have stories, and we've got skills, so I'm imagining seeing something where we've got images that you've discussed that people could travel through and have a Thanksgiving or enjoy elements of Thanksgiving. The pictures that you've taken of trees, Carrie, could you tell us how people might go on the internet to see some of those collections that you have?
Sure. So I actually post a couple times a week to Instagram. So we have an Instagram account, ecowisdom_forest_preserve. Ecowisdom. And you can also get to it through our website, which is ecowisdom.ca. There's a link to the Instagram there. So on there, you'll see things where there's like still photographs, but also videos. And so in my time in BC, I'm so fortunate, so grateful to have spent time with 1,000-year-old trees in Avatar Grove, the old growth forest in Fairy Creek watershed, where there's a lot of protests going on right now because the BC government is cutting down some of these massive, beautiful, so wise trees. Anyway, so I do these videos, and I'll incorporate things like my hand on the tree, maybe some bird sounds, just to give people sort of a more immersive experience of what it was like to be in that space. And I use what's called contemplative photography. So I go into a natural space and I have an experience of deep connection. And then I try to represent that deep connection through photography and videography. So, and then of course, now I'm back on, you know, back in Ontario, and for most of the year, you'll see the transition, the seasonal changes, including like winter. Last winter on the land of the Ecowisdom Forest Preserve, and last winter I actually posted a video of me throwing the tea that we often, you know, serve in our online programs at the end of our 2.5-hour accessible nature well-being programs. Anyway, it froze in the air because it was minus 40. So it just was a big puff, right? And it just sort of drifted off in amongst the trees. So, you know, and I have like the chickadees that will come in the winter and feed out of my hand. And so I try to represent visually what life is like in the forest here. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank each of you, Punky, Carrie, Lorette, Joseph, and Kim, for sharing time about Thanksgiving, helping people to envision, embrace gratitude, ways that you can have gratitude overwash all the negativity. And who knows, look forward to the movie, Thanks for Living, with all these examples people have shared today. I am Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C. We are here at the Salu'au Speak Up, Listen Up, and Act Upon What You've Heard show. And I hope to see you again next week at 10. But you know, when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers, poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery, time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. For joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time.
Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
This is Bird Note. I'm J. Drew Lanham, an ornithologist, naturalist, and writer, and this is a note I've written to a bird I love. Dear Pileated Woodpecker, first off, do you prefer a long eye or short? Just want to make sure I start off right. Personally, I go for the pileated pronunciation and not the pileated one. Potato, potato, right? Speaking of names, been wondering what you think of all the Lord God bird stuff. People mistaking you for the long-lost ivory bill woodpecker. I mean, after all, that huge ivory bill used to give you guys a run for your biggest pecker money back in the day. Yeah, I know. The difference is obvious. But trust me, I know what it's like for someone to see big and black and fall to assumption. Exhausting, ain't it? Anyway, just wanted you to know I appreciate all that mistaken identity nonsense you put up with. And it's pretty awesome the way your calls make even the suburban woodlots seem like faraway wildness. I really don't like the whole hen of the woods name some folks gave you way back when, but I'll let you choose the best name for you. Hoping the hammering headaches aren't too bad and the profiling doesn't cost you your own identity. All best, Drew.